Please remain seated. You've heard the word of the Lord, the gospel lesson for the day. If you have a Bible handy and would like to follow along, I'll be referring to other verses from Matthew chapter 11. We bow our heads in prayer. Lord Jesus, where else can we find rest except in you alone? Where else can we find protection except in your wounds and the suffering and the blood that you shed for us all? Lord, we come by your invitation. Bless us now for your dear name's sake. Amen. In the name of Jesus, our rock of ages, dear children of the Heavenly Father, we've come to Jesus who is the true Sabbath rest. Do you ever wake up at night worried? Go through a day anxious, or just maybe have trouble getting up for a day because you're so anxious and worried about something that you don't want to face, and maybe the night before when you went to bed, it was really hard to get to sleep. Just worried. Depends a lot on your personality type. There's a famous personality, wasn't really a real person, a fictitious person. If you do a Google search on that old expression, what? Me worry? Remember that one? You'll see a face there that most of us are familiar with. I think it was Alfred E. Newman. Yeah. He had kind of a toothless grin, one tooth missing, kind of, and ears really big, and a hapless grin on his face. One eye kind of like mine is always squinting, you know, and he just not a care in the world. 46 million hits on What? Me Worry? And Alfred Newman's grin. It was picked up by Mad Magazine. And for 50 years before that, it was actually used, that face was used in advertising, and they finally just put it in the magazine that made it famous. What? Me worry? It really depends on what kind of personality you have. So last week, after Pastor Don Patterson was here to preach for us, I was privileged to have lunch with him and a couple of our members, and I just mentioned what a joy it was to have Pastor Patterson with us, because he has this personality of an otter. And he started laughing. He turned to his former president of his congregation, members of ours now, to Bill Esslinger, and said, and then looked back at me and said, did you get that from Gary Smalley? I said, yeah, because these tapes have been around for years. We've got the old VCR, now they're on DVD. Gary Smalley is a Christian family psychologist, and if you listen to him and you know your Bible, you hear Bible stuff all over in Gary Smalley, but he's not always quoting the scripture like a preacher. So he's bringing the wisdom of Proverbs into relationships in this one series called Keys to Loving Relationships. And he narrows down all personality types to four types. These aren't that hard to understand. Like, you have the lion. The lion you would expect to be courageous, always ready to step up and lead. Or another personality type of Gary Smalley is the beaver, building and great attention to detail. You got another one, golden retriever. If you've ever known a golden retriever, you know that's always wanting to please. And an otter? An otter is a party waiting to happen. And that's why when you have somebody with that personality, that party waiting, I mean, just people love to be around them, and it's a joy to know people like that, okay? And people like that don't typically worry much. The beaver, on the other hand, so much depends in our worries about what kind of person we are. For instance, one of our members was telling me about going to get a mortgage with his wife. And he laid the papers down on the mortgage broker's desk, and she looked up at him and she says, "Are you an engineer?" And he looked at his wife and laughed and said, "Well, is it that obvious? All the papers are in order. Everything is just right. My husband is an engineer and it drives me crazy." Could you be an engineer if you did not have a beaver-type personality? Strict attention to detail. What happens when engineers don't pay attention to detail? We have bridges that crash because the specs weren't right. Shuttles that go down because the little O-rings fail, right? You got to have attention to detail in certain jobs in particular. But then what happens? Typically, that personality type, attention to detail. See, most people have one of these four more dominant than the others, but typically it's a combination of the above. One of the most difficult ones to deal with personally would be someone who on the one hand has great attention to detail as a beaver, but then has the otter personality that's not very organized. So you got this person that is really aware that things ought to be organized, but just isn't. See? They're hard to live with themselves when they're like that. I looked back in this chapter of Matthew 11, trying to see this in these personality types. And in the opening part of the chapter, if you've got your Bible open there, Matthew chapter 11, there's a character here that you've known since you were little. Man, he's all over in Sunday school. But he is definitely not an otter. I doubt he ever went to a party. He's definitely not a golden retriever because he did not care what people think. He just called them all a brood of vipers. Starting to remember? Being the lion leader was not his personality. But did he ever have attention to detail? We're talking the last prophet of the Old Testament, the cousin of Jesus, John the Baptist. He knew what the Old Testament said. He fearlessly proclaimed it to the people. Every detail he was absolutely intent on showing that God was bringing those prophecies to pass. But in Matthew chapter 11, we find John the baptizer, beaver, in prison. And it really gives you a good glimpse into how the most devout and dedicated believers at times get into a situation where they and the people that they know have questions. Theologians argue about whether it was John's question or his disciples' question. It doesn't really matter. He didn't have an answer, so he sends his disciples to Jesus and says, "Are you the one who was supposed to come, or are we waiting for someone else?" What does Jesus do? He points to the details. He knows John's personality very well. Look at the miracles I'm performing. Go back and tell John. Look at those miracles and then say, "Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me." Don't let the details destroy you of your life. Let the details of God's love and mercy lift you up. We also have an example here of... Well, they were mostly church people that just couldn't be pleased. They didn't like either personality type. Sometimes it's other people's personalities that bug us most because we don't realize we're just looking in the mirror. You know what I'm saying? So here's John the Baptist in all his austerity. People don't like him because he's just too harsh. We don't, that doom and gloom message, we don't want to hear that. So then God's Son comes. People don't realize this about Jesus, but he had very much the otter type personality. He was, in many cases, a party waiting to happen. When Matthew, the tax collector, became a believer, he had a party at his house and Jesus was there, right? They wanted to invite Jesus to the wedding at Cana. He makes water into wine, and it was expensive wine, plenty more than they could drink, and to keep the couple in good money too, as they were poor and they were getting their life started. Just amazing. You know what? They didn't like either one. Jesus says, "You people are like little children that can't be pleased." Some say, "Well, let's play funeral." "Nah, we don't want to do that." "Well, let's play wedding then." "Nah, we don't want to do that." You don't like John and his austerity playing funeral. You don't like me coming with this joyful wedding message. See what's missing? Our personalities get us into trouble because of sin that lurks inside. When we can't see that, and we can't be honest about our weaknesses and our failings, we're in big trouble. Whole cities, in the section that follows there, the woe to the repentant, unrepentant cities, there were whole cities that saw Jesus' miracles just, you know, not only making water into the wine, but making the blind able to see, the lame able to walk, the deaf able to hear. He raised the dead. And whole cities still would not believe in him. It happened right before their eyes. And so he had to say, "Woe to you." These are Jewish cities. Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum. come the judgment, you'll be worse off than Gentile cities that didn't even have the word of God. Tyre and Sidon and the most wicked of the ancient cities, Sodom. You know what sodomy is? It was named after a city. Perverted, evil, wickedness. They would not repent. They didn't want anything to do with the Lord. They wanted to be the lion. See it? They want to be the lion. They want to be in charge. They don't want to back down even to God. That was church people. People that had the word of God and were self-righteous in their heart instead of having that humble, repentant spirit. Even into our text where Jesus says, and in Luke's gospel, he says he's just gushing with joy when he says this, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned. You all know people that are always sure they're the smartest people in the room? You know, they're the wise and the learned. Maybe they have a degree, and they just, you know, they're wise in the eyes of the world. Maybe they don't have a degree, and they're just wise in their ignorance. Right? Some of the most knowledgeable people you know are the most ignorant people. And the people that complain the loudest about nobody ever listens to anybody's opinion. Well, they're usually concerned because nobody's listening to them. You notice that? And so the wise and learned, Jesus says, Father, you've hidden these things from the wise and learned, but to little children, oh, Heavenly Father, it was your pleasure to make these things known to little children. Tell a little child that Jesus is God's son. Well, they believe it. Jesus died for you. That's great. You can go to heaven because Jesus died for you. He's your Savior. He washed away your sins in your baptism. You're adopted into God's family. Great. They know this in their heart of hearts because God the Holy Spirit works that. He says, Jesus says, all things have been committed to me, handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. He uses a special word in the Greek original here. The New Testament was written in Greek. So he's using a word for pinpoint knowledge. All right? All of us, when we go home today, we can go out. We know well enough. You either got to stick that key in the hole and turn it, or push the button, or you get close enough and some cars are just opening up and you say start and they go. I guess. Mine doesn't do that. But you know what I'm saying? You know how to start your car and drive away. There are very few in this room that could lift the hood and actually know what they're looking at underneath, take it apart and put it back together again. That's the precision knowledge that the Lord is talking about here. Not just, you know, a little bit of even experience knowledge, but this is pinpoint precision knowledge. That's how those little ones know God. Because they know Jesus as their Savior. They know His comfort. They know that Jesus is the cleft in the rock where we hide from our sins and even from the wrath of God. Jesus is everything. Jesus reveals to us the Father, and when He reveals the Father to us in this precision knowledge, He takes away our fear. Worry? The more you focus on Jesus, the less worry you have. In fact, there was an ancient church father named Augustine. We quote from him often in the church. The church fathers just before the Middle Ages studied the scriptures. They made mistakes. They weren't perfect. But there were some of their sayings that were really worth remembering and repeating. And Augustine made this statement, we are restless until we find our rest in thee. If your heart is restless and worried and anxious, you really need to come back to the Lord and focus on Jesus, because the more you do, the more you realize He's everything you need, the perfect personality. Think about this. Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. That's what the Bible calls Him, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Most of us have never seen a lion in the wild. Probably don't want to. Some years ago, there was a video, this is before YouTube even, it was circulating on the internet, of a lion hunt in Africa, where this lion was off in the bush and the hunters were, that lion charged, I don't know, it was 8 or 10 hunters with high-powered rifles, just right out of the bush, this huge beast, no fear at all, he was going to take them all down. And several of them were mauled. Till they finally shot the lion and the lion died. You know what? Jesus, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, died. But not because they overpowered him. He gave his life for all and then proved by rising from the dead, he is actually the master of death itself. Everything hangs on the resurrection. The Lion of the tribe of Judah has triumphed. And so in the last book of the Bible in Revelation, it says, glorify him, praise him, because he's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Now, you know what? If that lion is on your side, what do you got to worry about? When the Lion of the tribe of Judah is your best and truest friend. You talk about attention to detail. Who builds the way Jesus builds? Best of the beavers? Maybe you don't want to think of Jesus as a beaver, but boy, he's got that attention to detail. Just think of when he says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Come to me. He's that Sabbath rest of the Old Testament. Remember that? Saturday, they were commanded to worship Israelites at Mount Sinai. That command did not go to everybody. It didn't come to us. But to that nation at that time and that people at that mountain, the Lord commanded them to rest on the Sabbath day, on Saturday. And they weren't supposed to sit at home and read the paper and worry about the affairs of the world. Okay? All the news shows that get you all bollocksed up. Let it go. On the Sabbath day, they came to assembly to hear the word of the Lord. And what the Lord in great detail was going to do to take away all that worry and care and give them the rest. And when Jesus comes, he is that Sabbath rest. We find our rest in him. Rest from what? Rest from all the worries and cares and the guilt of your own sin. I mean, look at Paul. St. Paul, they call him, and he's all concerned and upset because he wants to do good and can't. He keeps on doing the evil that he doesn't want to do. He can't do the good. And yet he says, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You find your rest in Christ alone. That's where it is. You look at his personality. He's everything. Everything fully and completely. The golden retriever that wants to please. You never see one like Jesus who wants to please his heavenly Father to such an extreme. He is willing to die on the cross and suffer. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Right? Before he died, he prayed that to his heavenly Father. And why did he do that? Because as the golden retriever, the most golden of all, he wanted to bring you as a child of God to the joys of everlasting pleasure with God. At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Now, you talk about an otter. The party waiting to be happen. You know what it's called in the Bible? The wedding feast of the Lamb. He says, the finest of meats and the finest of wines. He will serve at the wedding feast of the Lamb. And Jesus says, even though he is the bridegroom and we are the bride, he will be serving. He's the otter, he's the golden retriever, he's the beaver, he's the king, he is absolutely everything. And all we really need to do to get rid of our worries is confess them. Lord, I'm sorry, I'm worried. You deserve better than this from me. I'm just quoting my own prayers. You deserve better than this from me. Lord, you've taught me so well. Forgive me for this anxiety. You say, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. So let me bring this to you. Consciously in your mind, take whatever that is that you're thinking about at that time that keeps on waking you up and hold that up to God and say, this one's yours. And when another thought and another fear or some other person's face comes to mind, you hold that up to God and say, this one's yours. Lord, you deal with this. It's too big for me. Jesus is absolutely everything. And when we trust in him and focus on him as individuals, we realize whatever is lacking in us, it's all in him. It's just another way of looking at God's righteousness that he says he gives us in our baptism. He covers us with Christ. So everything that's lacking in your personality, find it in Christ. God says it counts for you. And one of the greatest things for us in a congregation like this, when he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." When we come together in that love of Christ, we learn quite quickly that even though as individuals we're lacking so much, together as the body of Christ, we have everything we need. As the body of Christ, we have lion-hearted leaders. We have people with very close attention to detail, good beavers. We have golden retrievers that love to please and serve. We have joyful otters you just love to be around. We have our share of everything. "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You know, this morning I was thinking about that yoke. We usually see it as something laid across an animal and the animal drags it on, but I was thinking, doesn't an airplane have a yoke? Some of you that fly, I had to look it up, but you could probably explain it to me. The yoke, according to Google, says that it controls the altitude. So, make the plane fly. This is more like the yoke that the Lord is talking about here, where this yoke actually, he puts this on us, and with this hope and love, he picks us up. He lets us fly above all the worries and cares of life. In Christ, you go above all that. The world is full of scum and muck. You ride across it. You ride over it. You fly above it. Because you're bound for glory. Now, rock of ages cleft for me, I can only see some of God's glory, but I see enough in the face of Jesus Christ. But there, all there, when Jesus is everything, and someday in Him, we will be just like Him. Glorified, holy, perfect in Him. It's a party waiting to happen. That should put a little otter in all of us. Why worry? Lord, take it all away. Amen.